The following audio is machine generated. Please excuse any mispronunciations. What does scripture say about elders? 10 clarifying questions by Bobby Harrington. One of the many distinctives of churches in the Renew.org network is that our congregations are elder guided, along with holding high views of scripture, baptism, weekly communion, etc. Being elder-guided follows the biblical model for the faithful organization and leadership of the local church. Here are 10 questions on elders that we hope you will find helpful in your quest to understand and follow what the Bible teaches. 1. What is the role of elders? In Scripture, elders serve as the primary spiritual leaders of the local church, tasked with shepherding God's flock by feeding, guiding, protecting, and caring for the congregation, Acts 20:28, 1 Peter 5:2-3. Their responsibilities include overseeing the church's affairs, guiding the people well, teaching and preaching sound doctrine, refuting false teachers, serving as godly examples to the flock, and praying for the sick, 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:9, 1 Timothy 5:17, James 5:14. Ultimately, they exercise oversight under Christ, the chief shepherd of the church, as they equip and build up the body of Christ. Acts 20-28 describes the role of elders succinctly. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Acts 20:28 NIV. 2. Who are elders? Elders are mature, high character men who have been appointed to spiritual leadership in the local church. They are described interchangeably as elders, presbyteros, or overseers, episkopoi, or pastors, rupoi means, reflecting their functions of wisdom, management, and caring guidance, Acts 20:17, 28, Titus 1:5 7, 1 Peter 5, 1-2. The New Testament presents them as experienced believers who demonstrate high character and familial and doctrinal competency as outlined in 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, and Titus 1:5-9. Character profile lists were very common in the Greco-Roman world of the New Testament. They're often called virtue lists and their counterparts, vice lists, and you could find them in philosophy, rhetoric, and moral instruction. The Apostle Paul is drawing upon that tradition in Titus 1 when he describes what elders are to be like. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Or rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Titus 1:6-9, NIV. 3. Can women serve as elders? This is a tough question today in North America. In our world, women serve in all areas of leadership, from professors to CEOs to presidential candidates. Why would they not serve as elders in the local church? Good question. But as in other areas of church teaching, the world should not be the driving authority for the local church. Instead, Scripture alone is our final authority, for it is the only sure guidance given to us by Jesus' apostles, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 4:4. We have written extensively on this topic at renew.org network, showing how Scripture teaches a created order between men and women that God wants us to honor. You may want to start with our summary post on the teaching of the New Testament. If we strictly follow the New Testament as our final authority, there is no foundation for appointing women to be the main preacher/teachers. in the gathered church or to serve as elders. Husbands were given headship in the home in the New Testament, where God calls them to be Jesus-like leaders for the sake of their wives and children, Ephesians 5:23. Elders hold a similar role as fathers in the church. The role of elders was also common in Jewish law and Greco-Roman society in New Testament times, and historically we see only men in these roles. They legally represented households, families, and clans, showing leadership and arbitrating disputes. If the apostles intended to change things, adding women as elders in the leadership of the church, it needed to be explicit because the cultural background was so consistent and universal. Instead, the New Testament describes elders in male-specific terms. The Apostle Paul stated that an elder was to be the husband of one wife, literally, a man of one woman, using the Greek term anir for male/husband, and manage his household as a male head, 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:6. These male-specific terms, combined with masculine pronouns and articles in Greek throughout the passages, plus other passages that describe a related male-only teaching role in the congregation, 1 Timothy 2:12, indicate that the office is restricted to qualified men. If you have questions on this specific point about women elders, please read one of my previous articles, Can Women Serve as Elders in the Local Church? 5 questions. Notice the ways in which 1 Timothy 3:2-4 describes elders as male. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. 1 Timothy 3:2-4, and Amraivoi. 4. Can elders have different roles? Yes. While there's one unified group of elders/overseers, individual elders within a church can have different focus points or roles within the ministry of elders. For example, the Apostle Peter was both an apostle and an elder, 1 Peter 5:1. Each elder will have different strengths and talents, and they should work together, focusing on their gifts for the benefit of the whole elder group. 1 Timothy 5:17 describes distinctive elders who direct the affairs of the church and those whose work is preaching and teaching, showing that some may focus more on direction and oversight, or they may specialize in public teaching and doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:17-18 describes diverse elder roles. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. 1 Timothy 5:17-18, and 1 Ioannes 5:5. How are elders appointed? Elders in the New Testament were appointed by the apostles or their evangelist delegates, such as Timothy and Titus, Acts 14:23, Titus 1:5. The New Testament teaches and demonstrates the role and type of person to be appointed for the role, so that when the apostles were no longer with us, we would know the kind of people to appoint. We also note that when the evangelist minister Timothy was appointing deacons in 1 Timothy 3:10, the apostle Paul told him that those being appointed were to be tested. So it seems wise to follow the same practice and test those to be appointed as elders today. We also note that when appointing leaders to take care of the widows in Acts 6:5, the apostles received support from the whole church for those they appointed. If starting new, a church planter as an evangelist minister could commend men to be appointed as elders, or if the church already has elders, the current elders, with the input of the ministerial staff, could recommend elders, it seems wise then to appoint qualified men to the role of elder, using Scripture as our guide and involving the whole church, so the people can confirm or affirm the appointment of men to be elders over the church family. 1 Timothy 3:14-15 guides us in the basis for elders and deacons, 1 Timothy 3:1-13, in the absence of apostles. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:14-15, NI 5:6. What is the relationship of elders to other leaders? In the New Testament times, elders functioned alongside apostles, evangelists, prophets, teachers, and deacons. Ephesians 4:11-13, Philippians 1:1. As pointed out above, the apostles established elders to function as the leaders of the local church. So when the apostles died out, elders assumed the final authority role for the local church under the guidance of apostolic teaching. Some believe that prophets still function today, but most believe that if so, it is a less authoritative prophetic role, not a foundational one to the founding of the church, as Ephesians 2:20 describes, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They point out that prophets and prophecy are to come under the authority of elders, for prophecy is to be tested, 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22, 1 Corinthians 14:29, and that elders are the authority in such matters, Acts 20:28. Normatively, in a local church, elders will work with evangelists like Timothy and Titus, teachers and male and female deacons, 1 Timothy 3:8-13, Romans 16:1-2. These relationships can be difficult to coordinate in larger churches, but wise church leaders have found effective models today. See question 8 below. Ephesians 4, 11-13 describes the goal for elders and all leaders in the local church. And so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ in Ephesians 4:11-13. Seven, can you have just one elder? The New Testament only describes and commends a group of elders for the role. When there is no evidence in Scripture for a single elder model, every reference to leadership in local congregations consistently describes a plurality of elders, multiple leaders per church, as seen in Acts 14:23, Titus 1:5, Acts 20:17, and Philippians 1:1. A lone elder would contradict the pattern of shared oversight and accountability, which carries within it checks and balances against one person getting off track and having too much authority. For example, Acts 14:23 describes the appointment of a group of elders in each church. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders, presbyteros plural, for them at each church, kat ekklesion, singular per congregation, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. At the same time, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus show us how Timothy and Titus, as evangelist ministers, were point leaders, appointing and working with elders and exercising significant leadership authority. It is not hard to envision men like that today, evangelist ministers in partnership with the elders of a church. Evangelist ministers serve as point leaders in a day-to-day fashion, guiding the church alongside the elders. At the same time, the appointed elders as a group function with final authority over a local church, Acts 20:28-30, For example, we see Timothy in a strong leadership role as an evangelist and a minister working with elders in the church. Paul describes Timothy in the dual roles. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. 2 Timothy 4, 5, and NRFI. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. 1 Timothy 4, 6, NIV. 8. How do elders function? Elders function collectively as a team, making decisions together, shepherding the flock, exercising oversight, protecting against false doctrine, and caring for members' spiritual needs. Acts 20:28-31, 1 Peter 5:1-4, Titus 1:9-11. They lead humbly without domineering, watching over the preaching and teaching of the church, and work to maintain unity and order. Through prayer and wisdom, the elders of a church will need to develop guidelines or common practices by which they can function most effectively, because many practical issues of their function are not addressed in Scripture. By nature and gifting, some may be more influential elders. These can be elders, pastors, described in 1 Timothy 5:17-19 as being worthy of double honor, who are financially supported by the church to direct the affairs of the church or focus on preaching and teaching. Describing the men who take on these roles as lead pastors or lead elders or teaching pastors is appropriate. Here is an important organizational principle. Some men are gifted with leadership and they need to be empowered to lead, Romans 12:8. Like the Apostle Paul or Peter, they will be more dominant as leaders among equals. We also see this principle acknowledged in 1 Timothy 5:17, where Scripture says there are elders who direct the affairs of the church. You know, it is wise to acknowledge a point leader among the elders and to call them the lead pastor slash elder. This is especially important if the church is to grow in influence, or if the church is a large or mega church, as wise and organized leadership is necessary when dealing with large numbers of people. Again, wise elders will appoint an influential, worthy elder within the eldership for the sake of the church, especially if their gifts are preaching and teaching, 1 Timothy 5:17. Or they may appoint a younger evangelist minister serving with the elders within a church to become a point leader in terms of the public face of the elders. But this leader works with the elders and must be in submission to the elders as a group. God's plan in each of these situations is that the elders will lead by making the final decisions on big direction-setting matters as a group. Recall that the group is called to be overseers of the church. 1 Timothy 3:1, Acts 20:17-28, 1 Peter 5:1-4. If a church has a ministerial staff, especially a large staff, it is wise to let the staff lead the day-to-day affairs of the church under the guidance of elders. The concept of a church that is staff-led, elder-guided, is very much in keeping with Scripture and with the principles of efficiency. Many churches today have adopted some version of policy governance or elder governance, where the function of elders and rules for how they interact are agreed upon upfront. Elder governance policies can establish areas where the elders make only the big decisions, but delineate those areas from other areas where the ministerial staff make the day-to-day decisions. These policies typically include the role of the lead pastor if the main preacher slash teacher is an elder, or the lead evangelist minister if he is the lead spokesperson and preacher for the church but not an elder, and how this leader best interacts with the other elders and the ministerial staff. We have used a very effective elder governance model in my home church for over 15 years. There are different ways elder governance can be formulated, and you can review our position here. For 1 Peter 5:1-4 describes the best mindset by which elders serve. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. It's 1 Peter 5:1-4 and Orastia LC 9. How long do elders serve? We don't see time limits for elders in Scripture, so churches have to use their best judgment here. What is clear from Scripture are the qualities elders must have, qualities which imply an elder shouldn't be too young, but which don't necessarily speak to when an elder is too old. Wisdom dictates that ideally, elders could serve for an indefinite period, continuing as long as they remain biblically qualified, spiritually mature, and willing to fulfill their calling. Service could continue based on ongoing desire, character, doctrinal fidelity, and effectiveness, but what if an elder's character changes, or what if they grow too old to be effective? Wise church leaders will establish practices and procedures for these contingencies. There should be regular evaluation of elders by the elder group and others with explicit feedback. There need to be mechanisms for accountability. And when the church has many qualified people who can assume the role, I believe there is often wisdom in term limits for elders. Each church should listen to the experience of others, reflect and explicitly establish wise habits and policies. We recommend you check out our partners, E2 Effective Elders, for advice in this area. Questions such as these call for wisdom, and Proverbs 3:13-18 ESVA describes the benefit of using wisdom in our decisions. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. 10. What happens if a local church has no elders? Appointing elders and following their leadership is a significant teaching in Scripture. It should be considered a part of our pursuit of obedience to Christ in all things, Matthew 28:18-20. Yet, a church plant or a small church may go through a period where it does not have elders. Knowing that this is not God's best for the long haul, it should spur us to action. A church without elders lacks the leadership order, wisdom, and structured protection intended by the Lord, Titus 1:5. Elders are God's plan for a thriving local church. In such cases, the church may temporarily operate under teachers, evangelists, deacons, or other mature leaders, but they should be seeking qualified men who can be identified and appointed to oversee the congregation as elders. Again, getting to the point where the church appoints elders is a necessary part of pursuing the full teachings of Scripture. In Acts 20:29-31, the Apostle Paul described what can happen without proper elder oversight in a church. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Acts 20:29-31 NIV. Scripture teaches us that God wants a group of men who are known for their character, their track record with their families, their ability to know and uphold doctrine, and their ability to show experienced wisdom to be the leaders of the local, what's the local church. And when we follow this teaching, it will be a benefit and a blessing to the entire church family. Elders provide us with stability, direction, care, and love that is supremely valuable for the long-haul faithfulness of a church. For footnotes and links, please visit to renew.org.